From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. More than a third of Californians rely on Medi-Cal, the state's version of Medicaid, a public health insurance for low-income residents. But that number jumps to nearly 70% in the Central Valley, from San Joaquin to Kern County. And this eight-county region is bracing for the fallout from President Trump's tax and spending bill, which calls for big cuts to Medicaid. There's still a great deal of uncertainty of how deep this impact will be in the coming years, but that unknown still comes with real-life consequences. Tim Sheehan is a health reporting fellow with The Intersection, a health equity reporting lab from our partners at the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, and he joins us to talk about how changes at the federal level could impact over a million recipients living in the Central Valley who rely on Medi-Cal. Welcome back, Tim.
Great to be back. Thank you.
So when we take a look at the Federal Budget Act that was narrowly passed by Congress, signed into law, what kind of spending cuts will it make to Medicaid?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office's analysis of the bill estimates that over the coming 10 years, there will be a reduction of more than $1 trillion in direct spending on Medicaid. It appears that one of the biggest chunks of that, at about $326 billion, is to be achieved through imposing what are called engagement requirements or work requirements for people to become eligible for Medicaid. And aside from that, there's a wide swath of other smaller measures related to Medicaid within the bill that make up the rest of that $1 trillion in cuts.
Okay, so when it comes to those engagement requirements, that also includes new work requirements, other provisions. What are the changes that will be taking place?
Well, it requires states to put in place these worker service requirements for people to be eligible for Medicaid or Medi-Cal here in California, up to 80 hours per month. So essentially part-time work or part-time service. And these requirements will apply to anybody who is between the ages of 19 and 64, unless they are exempt because they are parents of children under the age of 13, or they're medically frail, or they're elderly.
And who would be responsible for overseeing that? Would it be at the federal level, or will it trickle down to counties being responsible for this, for monitoring this?
It looks like it's going to be at the state level, that the state, as the administrator of Medi-Cal on behalf of the federal government's Medicaid program, would be responsible for ensuring on a twice-a-year basis or every 6 months basis everyone's eligibility and whether they're meeting the work requirements.
As I laid out, almost 7 out of 10 patients across the Central Valley rely on Medi-Cal. Now, that's compared to statewide, about 38% of Californians are on Medi-Cal. So it's significantly higher than the statewide average. Describe who these recipients are across the Central Valley that could be potentially impacted by these federal cuts.
Sure. Well, within the congressional districts that are entirely within the valley, and that's four of them, the Census Bureau data indicates that as of 2023, there are about 1.2 million residents enrolled in Medicaid or some form of needs-based coverage. The very nature of Medicaid, of course, and Medi-Cal means that the vast majority of these folks are low or very low income or disabled. And by nature of our demographics, many of them are racial or ethnic minorities as well. About half of the people, about 618,000, fall into the age range covered by the work requirement, that 19 to 64 range. And another 500,000 or so are children under the age of 19.
Why is the number of Medi-Cal recipients higher in the Central Valley compared to the statewide average?
Generally, our region has a higher rate of poverty, lower income, higher unemployment than the statewide average. So it's this region has historically been economically disadvantaged, and that is reflected in the number of people who are enrolled in Medi-Cal or other safety net programs that are offered by the government.
When it comes to the type of health care that's provided across the Central Valley, since there is a high number of recipients who rely on Medi-Cal, what does the landscape of health clinics and services look like?
Right. In our region, from San Joaquin down through Kern counties, there are about 340 individual clinic sites that are operated by organizations that are in what's called the Federally Qualified Health Centers program. There are about 200 of them in the central part of the valley that my reporting focuses on, Fresno, Kings, Madera, and Tulare counties. These clinics offer primary medical care. A lot of people maybe don't have a family doctor, so they rely on these clinics for that primary care. Some have dental, some have optometry, some have mental health, and some have urgent care services as well. Beyond that, you have people who go to hospital emergency rooms, especially if they're uninsured. And the FQHCs also provide care for the uninsured as well. In 2023, more than 1.1 million people in the valley were served by these federally qualified health center clinics.
You mentioned that we're talking about hundreds of these clinics who qualify. What is a federally qualified health center, and how much do they rely on Medicaid funding?
Well, the FQHC program is a federal program that provides grants to clinic operators across the country to provide care for low-income and uninsured patients. That's on top of what they receive in reimbursements for people who are enrolled in Medicaid or Medi-Cal. In this region, roughly 70% of the patients that visit these FQHC clinics in the valley are in Medicaid slash Medi-Cal. And roughly the same percentage of clinic revenues comes from Medicaid, about 70%, a little more for some, a little less for others.
There's been a lot of talk when it comes to these Medicaid cuts that it's really going to affect rural communities. And you laid out that there are over 300 across the Central Valley that really benefit from Medicaid funding. When you talk to them, what are you getting in terms of, I guess, the potential impact? I mean, could some of these shutter in the coming decade? What are they concerned about?
Well, I reached out to four of the largest operators of FQHCs here in this four-county region, and three of them simply didn't respond. I kind of get the feeling they don't want a target on their back. I did speak with Justin Priest, the CEO of United Health Centers here in Fresno. It's the second largest FQHC organization in the region, and they cover about 180,000 patients across their three dozen clinic sites in Fresno, Kings, Tulare counties. Justin Pries, their CEO, talked with me about his organization's concerns, and how it will affect patients. One of the things he talked about is not so much that they might shut down, they might have to reduce the scope of services. And depending on the scope of the damage or the scope of the cuts, they might have to cut back on the number of locations that they offer.
You sent us some of that conversation. Let's take a listen to part of what he told you.
We're very concerned about what is in there, and I think it's a foregone conclusion. There's going to be some kind of cuts in there. We still don't really have a clear picture of how deep it's going to go. The ultimate goal from who's supporting this bill is how they're going to make cuts, is they're going to push people off the program.
So what kind of services might fall by the wayside if the funding dries up?
Probably the most vulnerable services would be some of the things that are not direct patient care, things that are reimbursed by Medicaid. Some of the extras that they provide, like transportation for patients to get to and from their appointments, or assistance to help people navigate the enrollment and eligibility processes. Those could fall away depending on how deep the cuts go. If it's more acute, then you may see a reduction in the scope of services that are offered, of the actual medical, dental, optometry, mental health, whatever other services are out there. Again, depending on the scope, And in more severe cases, they may need to cut back on the number of sites that they operate, especially those that don't have a high patient volume.
He also touched upon the real life impact to patients and that there is a potential that there is a sizable number that may not qualify for Medi-Cal anymore. Let's listen to part of what he told you.
I'm guessing it's going to be at least probably 20 to 25% of our patients are going to no longer qualify for the Medi-Cal program. That's a lot of people that are going to be uninsured and are going to be not accessing primary care and showing up in our emergency rooms that already can't handle the volume that they have and driving the costs up of care. Because I think, as we all know, if you take care of people in a primary care and preventative care setting and people get their preventative care done, it saves the system so much money.
So he mentioned emergency rooms. It's not like people stop needing health care. They may put off preventative care, but if something, an emergency happens, or if something gets beyond something that could have been treated with preventative care, they're going to go to the emergency room. Is that pretty much the only option left if someone were to be dropped from Medi-Cal?
It seems like it. I mean, there are other clinics out there. They don't necessarily take Medi-Cal or Medicaid. You've got all the primary care physicians that are out there, private doctor's offices, things like that. But a lot of them may be reluctant to take Medicaid or Medi-Cal. So largely, the emergency rooms would sort of become the provider of last resort. And, our hospitals are already seeing, as he said, more volume than they can handle, both from real emergencies and then people who go there because they have nowhere else to seek care.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with health reporting fellow Tim Sheehan about how federal cuts and changes to Medicaid could impact patients in the Central Valley. So given the high number of residents across the Central Valley on Medi-Cal, which is the state's version of Medicaid. You mentioned there's four congressional districts in the area that you were focusing on. How did lawmakers vote on this legislation?
Well, from north to south, there are two districts up in the north that sort of come into the valley, but not extensively. So focusing on the four that are down here in the southern part of the valley, we've got the two Democrats down in this area, Jim Costa of Fresno and Adam Gray of Merced, both voted against the bill. The Republicans in the region both voted for the bill. That's David Valadao down in Hanford and Vince Fong of Bakersfield. The Republicans, their talking points focus on preserving Medicaid for who they call those it was intended to serve: children, parents, the disabled, and the elderly, by reducing waste and restoring integrity, end quote, to the program. The House Democrats generally bemoan the bill as something that will blow up the federal deficit by the time we get 10 years out, knock people off of their insurance, and put rural health care at risk.
Given that these are elected officials that are meant to represent the constituents in their district, when it comes to public polling, how do these cuts to Medicaid, how do they land with the public?
AFF, which is an independent health news organization, reported last month that generally Democrats and independents were opposed to the bill. Republicans, especially those who aligned themselves with the Make America Great Again movement, were in favor of the bill. However, once the polling questions turned to, well, how about all these healthcare cuts? Once the healthcare cuts were pointed out, the proportions against the bill rose, including among Republicans who were not Make America Great Again aligned. So largely opposition in the public to the bill.
California is also kind of unique in that it extends Medi-Cal coverage to people regardless of legal status. So that includes undocumented immigrants. I mean, that's changing at the state level as lawmakers were working to close a budget deficit for this upcoming fiscal year. But I want to hear again from Justin Prius with United Health Centers about how this could further compound that impact.
And then we also have to be concerned about what's happening, you know, at the state level and kind of the back and forth that's happening between the state and the federal government. And, you know, what is the funding going to be like from the federal government to the state? And, you know, obviously they're trying to push the state to no longer insure undocumented people at all or provide any kind of public benefits to undocumented people. And if the California does, they're going to be penalized by less funding and matching for the program, even if state dollars are used only for the undocumented, which is the current situation.
Yeah. What did you learn from him about how these cuts, what it could mean for immigrant communities?
One of the things that we had talked about when I spoke with Justin earlier this year was this overall concern about the immigrant communities that they do serve currently. And where will these folks go for healthcare coverage? It's not like they're not going to need healthcare. And it's not like they're going to, you know, we simply take away their Medicare card or their Medicaid cards or their Medi-Cal cards, and they're no longer, you know, part of the problem. They will be among those uninsured that will end up in emergency rooms. That's kind of how Justin was relating it to me, not only in this recent conversation, but earlier this year when we talked about this.
Finally, you know, as I led with, and you laid out as well, there's still a great deal of uncertainty about what the true impact will be over the next years, within the next decade. So how soon do these cuts and changes under this federal budget bill take effect?
Most of the changes don't take effect until late 2026, notably after the next congressional midterm elections, or early 2027. You know, so there's sort of this maybe a built-in buffer. And over the next year, there will probably be much more clarity for not only health clinics, but hospitals in our region to get a greater understanding of what this may be. And there may also be further legislation from the Republican majority in Congress to take it additionally, to go further with the cuts.
Tim, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Vicki.
Tim Sheehan is a health reporting fellow with The Intersection, part of the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. And we've been talking about how federal cuts and changes to Medicaid could impact patients in the Central Valley. Up next, white sturgeon are an iconic native species in California, but the latest survey recorded one of the lowest populations on record. We'll learn about the threats and how the state is taking action. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.